It's a great privilege to be able to come to the house of God and worship with the family of God. I don't know about you, but I wake up a couple times a week and wonder if it's Sunday. And I mean that. And so it is wonderful to be here and to be able to serve in a family of God such as yourself. Before I read my scripture, I need down just a little bit back there, David, please. Before I read my scripture, I want to say something that I said to this church about 24 years ago, and I want to say it in a different perspective. I had a scripture on my mind way back when that a prophet is without honor in his hometown. And I was scared to come to Kincaid, though I knew this is where Betty and I would be coming. But when I came, I first met with the deacons of the church, and then I met with the church. And I said something, and here's what I said. I want you to know this morning that there can only be one pastor of this church, and that's going to be me. I've tried to be that pastor, and you have graciously been behind me. But this morning will be my last message here as your pastor. And I want to say those words to you one more time. I know you love me, and you know I love you. But I want you to hear these words from me. There can only be one pastor of this church, and that will not be me. It will be my pastor and your pastor. And whoever he is, we will be behind him. But remember, I'll always be a preacher of God till the day I die. But after today, I will become a member of this congregation. And so, let's pray for the committee because they're selecting a pastor that God wants here to be my pastor. All right? If you have your Bible this morning now, with no further, turn, if you will, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 13. Jesus here has recorded his intercessory prayer for us. And he's talking to God, and he says some things about those who are left in the world, of which in 1999 we are of that makeup. And so he says these words to God, and then he comes again to our text in verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of this world, but that you should keep them from the evil in the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. The word sanctify means set apart. Set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We'll be speaking to us this morning on the subject, I leave you with these truths. There is a word I've heard lately for those who forget. I'm not sure what it is. I forgot what it was. But it starts with an S-C, whatever. All right? It's senile. I know, Hazel. A fellow asked me just a couple of days ago, what will it be like for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren as they get older? The world is in a horrible shape. And you know, young people don't realize that. Because like me, they're busy running in mud puddles, talking to girls on the phone, getting on the internet and things like that. And to them it's a wonderful world because many times our young people haven't the knowledge or the thought to really see the changes in the world, the old time way. I would, and you who are in my age group, would that the world would come back to the old time way. We didn't have all the push buttons and the flusher. But there was something we had more valuable than all of them. There was a family unit. There was love like you don't see today. I know families love each other, but I recall before television that we always had a radio. And of course, most of you folks never heard of Just Plain Bill, Inner Sanctum, and The Lone Ranger. A lot of you have never heard of those. But that was a family occasion to get together in a room, and we would listen to the radio together. I know you know this is true, that those days are long gone. I hear parents say to their children, who's not very old, "I want you in here by midnight." My mom used to say that, only she would say, "I want you in here by 6 o'clock, before it's dark." What is the world going to do? What are our grandchildren, if God tarries, and our great-grandchildren going to do with the world as it grows? And the Bible said that it is waxing worse and worse. And it is something that we need to hear. I was going down the road the other day, and I know you don't understand this because you're not a minister, but I always even pray for a title of my message. And then I try to use the Word of God to put it together. But the other day, I didn't have one. A couple of days ago, I'm believing, or three. And Betty and I was driving down the road, and pow, God give it to me. And I said, "I'm driving," of course. She's always doing this anymore. Like I can't drive, right? And I said, "Oh, grab a pencil and paper. Grab a pencil and paper." Oh, she got all nervous. "Grab a pencil and paper. Hurry on, hurry on." I kept driving. I know she's watching. "Okay, what do you got? What do you got?" And I said, "Write this down. I leave you with these truths." And when she says, "What is that?" I said, "That's the title of my message for today. I leave you with these truths. Though the world is waxing worse and worse, you know by this time, if you know God, that you have an adversary. And you have an adversary. And he's called the devil. And his job has never changed. He is still, as he said to God a long time ago, God said to him, 'Where have you been?' And immediately he responded, 'I have been going back and forth upon the earth, seeing who I might devour, seeing who I might rob them of your love, seeing who I might steal their fellowship with God away.' And today in 1999, look at the empty pews, church members who haven't been here for months and months and months. Why haven't they been here? Because the devil has met them on the road somewhere, and he is devouring them. He is taking them from the love of God, from the love of the church, from the love of fellowship. And they are not here today. But one day they'll have to stand before God, and God will not be saying to the devil, he'll be saying to the children of God, 'What have you been doing?' And then something very reasonable but odd to us will happen. The Bible says that God will open up a book called the Book of Works. And in that Book of Works, it will have everything that the child of God have done since they have come to know God or Jesus as personal Savior. And the Bible said, "And you will be judged according to the things written in that book, and in this book, which is the Word of God. But I've got good news today. I leave you with this truth, that you can have victory, not only on Sunday morning, but I can have victory every day of our lives. And these are the truths that I want to leave with you of how we can have victory in our Christian life. Because a lot of God's children, they've lost that. Is this a word? If not, Will and Shelby not here, they won't correct me. They've lost their pizzazz. They've lost their vim. They've lost their vigor. And we need to regain that pizzazz and that vigor. And we need to get on fighting ground and praying ground and fellowship ground with Almighty God, who loved us and sent His Son. We can have victory. And the way that we can have victory, I leave you with this truth, by yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To give your life to Him, not a portion of it. Paul was speaking to the church at Rome in 1221, and he said something about walking in the world and turning your lives over to Jesus. He said it like this: do not overcome good with evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, some of you might have had a scripture jump in your mind concerning Jesus about that. For the Bible says concerning Him that Jesus went about in the world doing good. And the children of God need to do good. Listen to Ephesians 4. It tells us this, that there is just one body, and that is the church. And there is just one Lord, and that is Jesus Christ. And He tells us, and we need to be victorious by knowing that Jesus Christ is the head of this church. That might be news to some of you, because I am not the head of this church. And the deacons are not the head of this church. And the officers are not the head of this church. The Word of God tells us who is. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And we need to make Him the head of our lives. It is a privilege and an honor to confess Jesus as Savior. How many of you are willing right now, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on this, how many of you are willing to confess today that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Go ahead, I'm just going to look. I'm not going to look at you right direct. Okay, put it down. Now, you don't have to raise your hands on this. But I've got another question. Don't raise your hand. How many of you are willing right now to confess that He is the Lord of your life? Not Savior alone, but the Lord of your life. Because if He is the Lord of your life, He is in complete control of you. Your daily living, in your secular job, in teaching, in whatever you do, He is in charge 24 hours a day and 60 seconds in every minute and 60 minutes in every hour. When He is your Lord. And so, for us to be victorious, not only must He be our Savior, He must be our Lord. Let's say that. He must be my Lord. And we will be able then to be victorious if we will confess Him as our Savior and as our Lord, having complete control over life. And so when we confess Him, we are able to overcome the enemy. You know why? I know this might sound silly to you, but Jesus said some words that are so simple, and I've used them behind this pulpit several times. When it comes to the great distractor, the devil, the one who tries to destroy you, He said something very simple to overcome him. He said these words: get thee behind me, Satan. Let's say that. Get thee behind me, Satan. A lot of God's children are not saying that. And they're being led by the devil down the wrong road away from God. And so we need to make sure that Jesus is the great overcomer. And I like to leave you with this thought. As I'm walking in my everyday life, there are obstacles that come up against me that I know are wrong.
And when I turn it over to the Lord, it seems like He just walks through and pushes them aside, and I'm able to walk through on clear ground. It's like God, as He said, hold the staff over the water. And Moses held the staff over the water, and the water divided. And the Bible said that the children of God walked over on dry land. Amen. When we put God moving before us, He clears the way that you and I can walk and overcome all of those obstacles in our life, if we're willing to make Jesus the Lord of our life. Secondly, we are overcomers when we are willing to petition God in prayer. You see, prayer is something. It's communion with God. It's communion with God. I met the visitors here again yesterday, and they remembered me from some time. When you're as ugly as me, nobody forgets me. But they remembered me, and I remembered meeting them before. And I sat down, and we had a conversation, and we got to know each other a little more than we did before. He showed me these trolls. Oh, man, I'll not get into that. He's got some beautiful albums of all different kinds of things. And they went back before I was ever born, some of this stuff he's got. But that's what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God, having communion with God. And you know, I hear so many people keep saying these words, "Oh, Almighty God, oh my God on the throne," and those are all true. But we need to come to the place, and she's not here today, but she'll be always said. Have Him as your Savior. Make Him the Lord of your life. But have Him as your friend. Talk to God as one talks to a friend. And you don't need all of the religious paraphernalia. Talk to God and let God talk to you. And so we need to have a communion with God, and through prayer, we seek the wisdom of God. God, what would you have me to do? God, strengthen me to do whatever it is that you call me to do. And so God speaks to us, not in an audible voice, but He speaks to our heart, and He speaks to us through His Word. And so we must be willing that when a situation comes, we ought to be willing to stop and say, Father, how would you handle this situation? What would you do if you were in my shoes? You know, we about always get an answer from God, one way or another. And we know then what to do. And so talking to God, prayer, is not just talking with our voices, but it is listening with our hearts when we commune with God. Listen to Paul, Philippians 4:19. He said, request of God, and God will supply all of your needs. Say all. Say all. One more. All. You believe that? He will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. And so when we talk to God, we petition God for our need to walk the Christian life. No, I'm not for big folks. Those are wants. And God promises to supply all of our needs. And so we need to trust God in that so that we can live a victorious life. Isaiah 54:17, listen what He says. He says, any weapon that is formed against you will not stand. And any tongue that speaks against you will be condemned. This is the Word of God that speaks to us. But Isaiah goes on, and I want you to hear the last portion of this verse. Remember what he said. Anything that the devil farms against you, God will overthrow it. Any voice that speaks against you, God will overthrow it. And then he closes that verse. This is the heritage, he said, of the children of the Lord. And our righteousness is from God. What did he say? You don't have to petition God. You just need to trust God. And when an obstacle comes, He'll remove it. When people talk against you, Don't try to get even that get even stuff. God said, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of it. And to live a victorious life, we need to keep our temper down. Amen. And it's hard sometimes for me or from us. I like that because when I read that scripture that this is the heritage of the children of God, I thought about the United States Navy. I don't know how it is on base. I don't recall ever being on base, only for a while, but aboard ship, they have a speaker and they have a pipe, you know, and they... And that says, attention, I want you to listen. Amen? And then a voice says, now hear this. Now hear this. That's what Isaiah is saying to us. Now hear this. God will take care of your every movement in your day. Amen. Let me go on. We'll be power victorious and have power to overthrow the evils of darkness if we are willing to anchor our lives in the Word of God. Question? Don't raise your hand. Don't answer. Just a question for food for life when we do not involve our lives in the Word of God. Because the Word of God, it says, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Word of God is that lights the way that God wants us to walk. And it is the path that God wants us to walk on. And so the writer of Psalms said this. The Word of God is important because no child of God will know how to walk or where to walk without indulging in the Word of God. And you know what? It's very precious. I completely wore out one Bible. I believe I gave it to one of my children. I'm not sure about that, but I believe one of my children have the first Bible that I ever had. And when I finish with this one, I hope to give it to one of my children. But I have studied it. Not because I want to be smart. I study it because I want to know how God tells me to live. And so I open it quite often, and I pray you do too. So if you haven't opened your Bible and you haven't begun to read it, the love story of God, you need to do that to have victory in your life. And victory comes through fellowship with the people of God. If you want to have victory, join with a fellowship of people who love you. A fellowship of people who will encourage you. Some people who, I watch television. I don't have to go to church. I watch television. I'm sure I get just as much. Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. Every Sunday morning I listen to 3 programs, and I do. You can ask my wife. And every Sunday morning I just walk up in front of the TV, and them guys just jump out and hug me, and they tell me how they love me. Isn't that nonsense? You don't get that from a television. You get that from a family of God who loves you, and a family of God who will encourage you, and a family of God who will lift you up. No, you cannot get from the TV what you can get from the Word of God. And so we need to make sure that we heard the Word of God. What was it Delbert said? How many of you have heard his message? Do you remember it? I mean, not all of it. But he said something in there as he recited something he remembered, and I'll just say the first part. He said, I would rather see a message than hear one. I would rather see a message than hear one any day. There is only one way that the world can see the message of God, and that is through your lives. And through my life. Don't speak it. Live it. And let the world know that you have been with Christ in Antioch. They lived in such a way they didn't have to say we're Christians. But do you know what the Bible said? They were first called Christians in Antioch. Because they walked like Christ. They talked like Christ. They lived like Christ. And so they knew how they had been with Christ. And so they called them Christians. Then this little song. Oh, I am so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed with His blood. Join heirs with Jesus. Amen. And then the last verse is, thank God I'm a part of the family of God. Folks, do you want to be victorious? Be an intricate part of the family of God. Want to live victorious? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, we are filled with the Holy Spirit the moment we are born. No, we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we are born, but Jesus encourages us to be filled with the Spirit. You see, we can quench the Spirit of God. And the Word of God says, quench not the Spirit of God that lives in you. How do we quench the Spirit of God? We walk our way instead of His. We do what we want instead of what He wants. We go, are you listening now? Love me because my last time as your pastor. But we sometimes go to bingo. Anybody know bingo? That's a good word. It's bingo. And we go to bingo instead of coming to the house of God. You quench the Spirit of God when you do that. And so the Bible says, quench not the Spirit of God, because it is the Spirit that gives you the fruit of the Spirit. And I just mentioned some. It's love, it's peace, it's joy, it's long-suffering, it's patience, it's hospitality, and on and on. And only when we let the Spirit have His way can He give us the love and the peace and the joy that God wants to have. Let me go on to close here. Lastly, we can be victorious if we will wait expectantly on the coming of the Lord. How many of you really, really believe that Jesus is coming again? Really believe? You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing that there is a great Christian movement of salvation spreading throughout the world. I hear that, but I don't believe that. And I'll tell you why I don't believe it. Because Jesus said, and I know He's smarter than me, Jesus said that in the end time, there will be a great falling away. Have you noticed any denomination in the world where there is not a great falling away except the cults? Now, let me verify that. If there was a great movement in the world and the world was being saved, hear it now, Jesus would never have to come. Because when He comes, the world will be in a shape as it was in the day the flood came. Amen? And washed them all away. And so, we need to wait expectantly for the Lord. James said, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know what? If you listen real closely, you can almost hear the lips of the trumpeter leaning against the trumpet. If you listen real close, you will almost hear the voice of the archangel clear in his throat that he might shout the coming of the Lord. If with our spiritual eye we will look steadfastly for his coming, we can almost hear God saying to his Son who stands at the right hand of God, clearing his throat and taking a breath to say, Son, it's time. It's time for you to go and receive your bride. How many of you know who his bride is? It's us, the children of God, the church. I don't know if you're living a victorious life. I don't know how it is that you serve God. I don't know how much you love God. I just know how much I love God. And how much God loves me. But I pray you love God as much and more than I do. But Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready for His coming?
before I leave you this morning, before the invitation, there's two things that I want to do. One of them is, I know you know it, because Brother Wilson, just last week, let us in it, but you know my little ditty, don't you? I'd like to leave you one more time with that, all right? Are you ready? Let's stand. Oh, he done so much for me. Oh, he done so much for me. And I never shall forget what he done for me. He took away my burden and he gave my heart a song. He took away my burden and he gave my heart a song. He took away my burden and he gave my heart a song. And I never shall forget what he done for me. Oh, he done so much for me. Oh, he done so much for me. Oh, he done so much for me. And I never shall forget what he done for me. Remain standing as the players of the instruments come. Brother Clarence, come. I said there was two things. I only did one, didn't I? But I'm not senile, and so I'm going to tell you the second thing. I believe you'll remember. If I never see you again, I'm going to do this. This side of heaven, I pray that I'll see you at the Lord. First and last verse, 219. Your decision. Is God your Savior today? Do you know my Lord is your personal Savior? If you don't, I pray you will. I pray you'll come. And all you have to do, Jesus said, is to ask me into your heart. And I'll come into your heart. All you have to do is admit you're a sinner and ask me to save you, and I will. Do you need to come? Maybe you need to come for prayer. Maybe you've got a family problem, a personal problem. Someone sick you need to pray about. Maybe to be a part of the church. Do you need to come? I don't know your heart. I just know what God, that He's speaking to you, and you know what He's saying. Do you need to come and rededicate your life? Here it is. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All hearts at ease. God bless you. As we close, this era, Brother Bob, would you just pass? Thank you.